it's a matter of life and death for millions of women.
Worldwide, 225 million women and girls would like to have access to information and to contraceptives, to be the master of their own body and to make their own decisions.
Two women, the Swedish and Dutch development ministers, feeling angry about the impact of an American policy across the world. Along with their Belgian and Danish counterparts, they organized a conference called She Decides, held in Brussels in March.
Hashtag bridges, not walls. Hashtag act for us all. Hashtag She Decides.
The conference was organized in just under 3 weeks and brought together 450 people from some 50 countries. Hello. I'm Zeenat Hansrod. In today's program, we'll hear why this American policy, the global gag rule, is seen as a threat to the health sector in developing countries. It all started in January, when the US President Donald Trump signed an executive order reinstating the Mexico City policy, also known as the global gag rule. This means the U.S. government will no longer give money to organizations that provide information or access to abortion. Tewodros Melese is the Director General of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. It's an organization in 170 countries that delivers sexual and reproductive health services. He says, because there'll be less money for family planning, so there will actually be more abortions, many of them unsafe.
The global gag rule says it is to avert or to restrain from abortion. But this measure, what's going to do is double or triple abortion. There are over 100 women every day who are dying due to pregnancy-related matters. And out of those, about 30 of them are dying to unsafe abortion.
The policy was first established in 1984 under a Republican president, Ronald Reagan. Abortion is a sensitive issue in the U.S., and so the global gag rule was rescinded under the Democrats and adopted again when the Republicans got into the White House. So why is the rest of the world concerned about the global gag rule? Because with $43 billion U.S. dollars, the government of the United States is the largest aid donor in the world. And it distributes $9.5 billion every year in health funding to overseas NGOs. So many organizations operating in developing countries rely heavily on funds from USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. And now, if they want to keep receiving US money, they will have to completely avoid the topic of abortion.
America is telling other countries, they don't have the right to talk about abortion.
Tewodros Melese.
They don't have the sovereignty right of raising issues which are related to the health of women and to the empowerment of women. That's where that is a politically disastrous situation. Never the U.S. government funds have ever been used either to promote abortion nor to provide abortion services, even during the Obama administration. This one is telling us, even if it is from our own money, even if it's from other sources, even if it is within the laws of the country, you cannot talk about abortion. That is unbelievable.
But this global gag rule doesn't only affect family planning services. NGOs working on other programs like HIV/AIDS, malaria, Zika virus, for example, will risk losing all U.S. funds if abortion is even mentioned in their programs. Zambia now finds itself in a very tough situation. 68% of the country's funds for AIDS drugs comes from U.S. funds. In Mozambique, the Mozambican Association for Family Planning gets 60% of its funds from USAID. Its director, Santos Simeone, says the new rule is going to put a stop to some vital HIV/AIDS prevention programs.
We have a specific program in Mozambique, which is a disclosure of positive status of adolescents from their parents. What happens is that many parents, they don't tell their children about their state of HIV positive. So they grow, they don't know what's their state, and suddenly they start having sexual contact with other children and they are infecting. So one of the program is a disclosure of HIV on adolescents. Also, this program will not continue. We also work with LGBTI group. We work with men having sex with men. We work with women having sex with women. And also we work with sex workers. So our program are inclusive. And with this 60% of support from US, we'll lose. It will have very negative impact in our work.
No sooner had the ink dried after President Trump signed the executive order than the Dutch Minister for Foreign Trade and Development Cooperation launched a fundraising initiative called She Decides to cover the financial shortfall.
Worldwide, 225 million women and girls would like to have access to information and to contraceptives, to be the master of their own body and to make their own decisions.
Minister Lilian Ploumen.
Now, with this executive order that President Trump signed, that many women will not get that access because the funding is withdrawn. So what we've seen in earlier presidencies who made that decision is that there will be more unsafe abortion and that millions of women and girls will suffer because of the lack of access to information and to contraceptives.
By early March, 5 weeks into the fundraising campaign, 181 million euros had been raised. Isabella Lövin promptly joined Ploumen's initiative. She is Sweden's Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for International Development Cooperation and Climate. Her country ranks among the largest aid donors in the world. Somalia, South Sudan, Afghanistan are among the countries she's visited to talk to women and girls about their sexual health and reproductive rights.
The issue about access to contraceptives and safe and legal abortions, it's a matter of life and death for millions of women. And we've seen the progress that has been made in the world during the last 25 years or so, when maternal mortality has gone down by almost half, due to access to contraceptives and information about family planning. And this is a development, a positive development in the world that we can't afford to see go backwards.
Mali is an example of what she's worried about. An NGO there, the Youth Action Movement, had been planning a $600,000 program with the USAID for the past 2 years to fund mobile clinics and a family planning campaign. The program has now been cancelled because the organization refused to abide by the gag rule. Adama Diko is the chairman of a Youth Action Movement in Mali.
The U.S. Embassy and USAID helps us a lot with our programs, and now we're going to lose all their funds. Because it isn't possible to talk about family planning and contraception and not talk about abortion. Abortion is the result of no family planning and no contraception. These $600,000 were going to help so many girls and so many women access contraception and get access to information and empower them to have the right and the choice to decide how they want to live their lives. Unsafe abortion is a curse in Mali, and there's hardly any family spared. In our society, a young girl who becomes pregnant and isn't married is not only cast aside by her milieu, but also by her friends and family. So she would rather undergo an unsafe abortion procedure and risk death.
For Swedish Minister Isabella Lövin, the problem also affects the country's economic progress.
2 million girls get pregnant before the age of 15 every year across the world. And then she will, of course, quit school and she will not have an education. She will not have the maturity of actually giving her children a proper upbringing that gives them the possibility for a better life. So you're replicating poverty, in fact.
Santos Simeone in Mozambique describes how a nation's development can be threatened in this way.
The impact of this, when we look at youth, will be huge. We have programs of sexuality education in school and out school. And Mozambique maybe is one of pioneer countries in Africa giving family planning in schools, and all these programs will be affected with the gag rule. So, meaning that the number of children being infected will be increasing, the number of girls becoming pregnant will also increase, and as a consequence, in terms of education, we will have less girls in school, then we can talk about development.
The Shidi Sides movement has gained momentum in helping NGOs across the world whose funding is now under threat. But we don't know how all this money will be distributed and under what criteria. These are the concerns raised by Amos Mwale, the executive director of the Center for Reproductive Health and Education in Zambia.
We should expect arrests in terms of accessing funds from non-US traditional donors. For instance, international NGOs are now going to be looking at partners from the West, especially in the Nordic countries and the UK government, to ensure that they are able to try and meet up the gap that has been created. So it will also not only see the rest, but we'll also see a number of small organizations, local organizations closing, because they will not have funds to actually continue with their programming. If, for instance, my organization is going to compete with Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood is a well-known institution. It's IPPF affiliate, and then even Maristops is an international organization. People will prefer, or organizations will prefer giving them funds than my organization, which is a local organization, because of the reputation that it has for the programs that they do at country level.
For now, Theodros Melese rejoices at the coming together of like-minded people, governments, citizens, health workers, private sector. That voice is going to be heard, he says.
It's going to be challenging, but we're not going to be defeated. And we are not going to sign that clause just to get money, because a woman's right, a woman's life cannot be changed and transacted by money.
We will not back on the progress made for women's rights and for development.
All of the health workers I met in Brussels say they will not sign the new clause the American government is now imposing to receive health funding. We will stick to the commitments made to our people, they said. Being principled under a Trump era seems to be a costly business. Thank you for listening to RFI. And it's goodbye from me, Zenith Hansroth.